We are up to the Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the two dots towards the bottom of the page, about eight lines from the bottom of the page. We're talking about Abdullah and so on. And, you know, Yaknaha is coming up, which way we should follow. So the Kuf Gimel, seven lines from the bottom. Rab Yaakov bar Abba, Rab Yaakov, the son of Abba, Ikla, once came, Lebe Rabba, to the house of Rabba. I'm going to learn a few things that he gleaned from that, and we'll discuss it. Chazi, he saw the Barich Poyre Pri HaGofen. He saw that he made a Barich Pri HaGofen Akasakama. He saw that he made a Barich Pri HaGofen on the first cup, you know, during the meal. And then, V'hoda Barich Akasa the Birchas. And then after he benched, he made a Barich Pri HaGofen again on the cup of wine. And he drank it. Omale, he said to him, now we're talking about it with Shabbos, and it was talking about to show you, obviously he made Kiddush on a cup, and then we'll assume he drank wine during the meal, and then after benching, he made Barich Pri HaGofen again on a cup of wine. Says the Gemara, Omale, so he said to him, Rabbi Yaakov, but Abba said to Rav, Lomelo kula hai, why do you have to make two brachas? Didn't you make a bracha by Kiddush? You already made Barich Pri HaGofen. Why doesn't it go on to the benching as well? Remember, you held a cup of wine in your hand before you started benching, so you intended to drink the wine. So why isn't that included? Amale, he said, Kavina Bereish Gelusa. So Rav said, but I was in the house of the Reish Gelusa. Hachi Yavdina, this is exactly what they did. Amale, Tei Nach Bereish Gelusa. What are you comparing? In the house of the Reish Gelusa, you're a guest. The hachi of that you did that. Well, you know why you did that? Because Safik, you weren't 100% sure. Maisilon, Safik, Len Maisilon. When you made the first cup of wine, did you know they're going to bring in more wine? You didn't. So therefore, you have to make another Barich Pri HaGofen because you didn't have it in mind. You can have more wine. Hacha hamonach kasa kaman. Here the wine is in front of you. V'daitin aleh, and you're thinking about it. So why is it that you're making another Barich Pri HaGofen on the case of Kiddush after the benching? Amalei said, "I know Avdi. I follow Ketamide de Rav. I'm following the students of Rav. What do you mean? I'm following the students of Rav. Rav Chananel, Tamide de Rav. I had two students of Yasser. So those sitting by me, Koyalayu, they were waited on by Rabbi Yehuda Sov, Rabbi Yehuda, the old man. Amalei, they said to him, Amrulei, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Havlam v'nivarech. You know what? We are ready to bench. Bring us. We're going to bench now." And so on. The Seif at the end, Amrulay said, you know what? Havlam v'nishte. Instead, we changed our mind. We don't want a bench. We want to drink right now wine. Kuf Gimel Amabay's second line from the top. So first they said, let's bench. And then they changed their mind before they started benching. They said, you know what? Bring us some more wine. We want to drink. Amrulay said to them, Hochem Rav. Rav said, Kivan the Amritu. The moment that you said, Havlam v'nivarech. The moment you said, let's go ahead and bench. Itzeluchu, it is forbidden to you, l'mishte, to drink anymore. You cannot drink anymore. My timer, why not? The aschitu dataychu. Because when you said, let's bench, you've completely removed your mind from eating anymore. Why else did you want to bench? And therefore, you're not allowed to drink anymore until after benching. So we see that what the whole idea of benching is you're ending your meal and you have to make another bracha. So too over here, since even though I'm planning to drink the wine after benching, but because I'm benching ends the meal, I have to make another bracha. Big machlekes and rishonim, you have to make another bracha. Therefore, can I drink more wine before benching, but all I have to do is make a bracha Barich Pri HaGofen, which is how many learn from the Rif? Or like Rashi says over here, that you're not allowed to drink any more wine until after benching. I mean, it's a question of a bracha, you're not allowed to drink wine. You're not allowed, because the bracha is like a bracha in vain. You could have avoided the bracha. So therefore, it's considered a bracha she'enot tzricha, unnecessary bracha, and you're not allowed to drink wine. So therefore, because they said that benching is considered a hesech hadas, removing your mind, so surely if you bench, the wine you drink after benching, you have to make a Barich Pri HaGofen. So the Gemara now tells a story, Meimar, and that's halacha, Meimar, and Mazutra, and Avashi, those three, Amaroyim, have a Yossi, Besedosa, it seems they many times met together, and we learn many different dinim, but in other places, how they behaved at these meals. The Koyolayu, and they were waited on by Rab Acha Brei de Rava, Rab Acha Salah Rava. Ameimar, Borich, each one behaved differently. Ameimar sat there, and every time they brought him another glass of wine, Borich al kol kosa v'kosa. He made a new bracha on every single cup of wine. Umazuta, Amazucha, when they waited upon him, Borich al kosa kama, he made a bracha on the first cup. Ve'akosa basar, when he benched, He looked like he led the benching. He made again Bore Pergofen on the wine, like Rava just said before, because benching ends the meal. So he didn't make, but he didn't make a Bore Pergofen on any of the drinks he drank during the meal. And Abashi, Borich HaKosakama, he made a bracha on the first cup. Vesu loy Borich. And when in, and by benching, he did not make, it seemed that he also drank wine after benching and did not make a bracha. Amlu Ravach, by Yerava, Ravach said, I am confused. Anan, we innocent students, Keman Navid, who should we follow? Each one of you behave differently. So what's the right thing to do? So each one explained their behavior. Amemus, I'm not arguing with anybody. Nimlechano, when I drank my first cup, I thought, that's it, I'm only having a little bit of wine. So I did not have in mind anything further. Then when they brought more wine, I liked it, I changed my mind, I wanted more wine, because every cup that they brought, I changed my mind, I need to make a new bracha. So it's a personal situation here, because I removed it from my mind. So nobody argued with me. This is my attitude to the wine by the meal. Mazutra says, I'm going to argue with Ravashi. I follow the students of Rav like Rava did. And that Rava Wata said that the students of Rav, you know, they said benching is the end of the meal, is a Hesach Hadas, and therefore I have to make another bracha after benching. And Abashi says, you know why I didn't make a bracha? Because less hilchasa ketamidei derav. The loch is not like the students of Rav. So it seems that you don't have two people leading the benching. So it seems like whoever led the benching, let's say it was, Mazutra, but they used to get kosher bracha, they used to pass the wine around. So the others who drank the wine also did not, Rav Ashi felt that the others who drink the wine from kosher bracha do not need to make a Bore Pergofen. Because it's not because they drank in the beginning of the meal, made a Bore Pergofen, and after bench they wanted to drink more wine, kosher bracha, so therefore they don't have to make another bracha. And he says the halacha is not like the students of Rav, and I'll prove it to you. How do I get that? What? I'll prove to you that you make a bracha in the beginning of the meal, Bore Pergofen, you don't have to make a bracha, Bore Pergofen, even after benching. How do I know that? We just learned what happens this week, this year, Pesach, Matzoi, Shabbos. But Omar Rav said, what's the procedure? What's the protocol? Yaknaha. You make first you make a bracha on wine, then you make kiddush, and then you do ner, then you have havdalah, and then you drink the wine. But now there was a hefsek. You made a havdalah between the kiddush and the drinking of the wine. How can you drink the wine now? You should make another Bore Pergofen. Doesn't that prove that because you intended to drink the wine after the havdalah, it's not considered a hefsek? Even though you made kiddush and havdalah, you made two separate things. So therefore, the same thing he says here, over here, even though you benched in between, it's not considered a hefsek because your intention was to drink the wine after benching. Says the Gemara, Taisa doesn't like this shot at all. Taisa says, why would you even think in the case of Yaknaha that you should make Bore Pergofen, two Bore Pergofens on one cup of wine? Here we're talking about two different cups of wine. We're talking about one cup you drank in the beginning of the meal, you're drinking a second cup after benching, whether you should make a Bore Pergofen or not. And you want to bring a proof from the fact that on the same cup of wine you're holding in your hand, you made Kiddush. And then you made Havdalah, you didn't make a separate Bore Pergofen. How does that prove anything? Of course you don't make two Bore Pergofens on the same cup of wine. That's what Tesis asks on the explanation of Rashbam. So he explains that the proof is that if the din is that it's a hefsek by benching, then they should have chatchil made a takana. You shouldn't pile together kiddush and havdalah on the same cup of wine. You chatchil should have made two separate cups of wine. First, make your kiddush, and then make your havdalah. The fact that they put them both in the same cup of wine proves it's not considered an end. That's what Rav Ashi wanted to say. The analogy is totally wrong. Awesome, over there by benching, the whole idea of benching is that you're ending your meal over here by yaknaha. It's not that you don't want to drink the wine, you didn't even start drinking it. You made a Bore Pergofen, you didn't start drinking it. Obviously, you intend to drink it. Why is it made a Bore Pergofen? So you've showed from your behavior that you intend to drink it. Over there by the meal, you made a bracha at the beginning of the meal. Let's say it was Kiddush. You made a Bore Pergofen at the beginning of the meal. That doesn't tell us anything about what's going to happen later on. So therefore, if you're benching, which ends the meal, finished. You have to make a new Bore Pergofen afterwards. Over here by Kiddush, you make Bore Pergofen, you make Kiddush, and you're still holding the cup in your hand and continuing. That tells us that even though you're making Avdallah, you intend to drink the wine. Okay, the Gemara now continues. So that's the halacha, that you have to make a Bore Pergofen afterwards. Tosfos has already asked, so there's a whole discussion, machlokes rishonim, by the Arba Kosos, if you have to make a Bore Pergofen on every single cup. So the question is, why do we make a bari peregofen on the second cup, which is after agada? So what if you need a cup? But it's not benching. He explained the reason why you have to make a new bari peregofen is because the benching ends the meal. But here, by the Haggadah, Haggadah is not the end of the meal. So why do you make another bari peregofen on the cup of wine, which is right after Haggadah? So he wants to say that maybe the Haggadah and the Hallel is so long, it's considered a hefsek. And that's why you have to make a new bari peregofen. So as far as the bracha bari peregofen is considered a hefsek. But as far as Kiddush b'makom suda, because you made Kiddush a couple hours ago, and your suda is going to take place after the second cup, it's not considered a hefsek. So the criteria of Kiddush b'makom suda, since the only way you can get to your meal by saying Haggadah, it's still connected. The Kiddush is connected to the suda, and that's good enough. But as far as the bracha bari peregofen, the time lapse between the first cup and the second cup is so long that it's considered a hefsek, you have to make a bari peregofen. Other Rishonim disagree, and based on what Tosfos said, it's a hefsek. Therefore, Tosfos says you have to make a bari nefashos after karpas, because if you can't say I'm making hadama on the karpas and having in mind the mara, it's too far away. If the second cup of wine you need a bari peregofen because it's too far away from the first cup, then the mara, which is even later, is too far away from the karpas. You have to make a bari nefashos. So how come we don't make a hadama on the mara? Because you eat it after the matzah, and the matzah is good enough. Other Rishonim totally disagree. They say that the matzah does not satisfy the mara because the mara is not really part of the meal, and therefore he has to make his own bracha or hadama. So where's the how come we don't make hadama mara? Because the karpas is good enough, and they say it's not a hefsek. It's not a hefsek, and because of this dilemma and this controversy, it says in Shulchan Aruch that when we eat karpas, we should eat less than a kazayis, less than the size of an olive, so we don't have to make a bari nefashos. And we do say with karpas and have in mind the mara. This way, we satisfy all opinions. Those who say that's good enough, it's the karpas hadama that satisfy the mara, we have it in mind. But we don't make a bari nefashos because we eat less than the kazayis. And those who say that it's too far away, it's too remote, it's the hamaitzi then, according to them, that takes care of it. And the reason why we make a bracha bari peregofen is because each one is a separate mitzvah. Because each of the four cups, it's not just drinking four cups. Each cup is tied in with the mitzvah that it's connected to. So therefore, we look at each cup as this is the kiddush, this is the benching, this is the Haggadah cup, this is the Hallel cup. So each cup is a totally different mitzvah. And that's why the bracha bari peregofen is not just a birchas hanenin, it's a birchas hamitzvah, and that's why we make separate brachas. This is nusach in Ashkenaz, in Sephardim they don't. In Sephardim they only make the last. But we make a bracha. Okay, the Gemara continues. What else happened?
Question.
Sure.
Why, if they're having the wine as part of the suda, so they make a moitzi, why the moitzi covers all the food and the drink, why doesn't it cover any additional wine they have? Why would you think to make an extra bracha?
In which case are we talking about?
Where is it through the meal? I've got which rafs.
Rabbi Marzuch, the first one, Ameima, he said when he, what do you call it? When you make hamaitzi, it does not cover the wine. So if you drink wine in the middle of the meal, you're washed. And you drink wine, you have to make a bari peregofen. That's the law. It's not covered by the hamaitzi. On Shabbos, we don't have to make a bari peregofen because you made bari peregofen by Kiddush. And because you made bari peregofen by Kiddush, even though it was done before the meal, it's connected to the meal, it carries over. But during a meal, if you ever have a meal and you wash and you have wine, you have to make a bari peregofen. It's like a separate thing, it's not part of the meal. So, and Ameima is saying that when he made his Kiddush, or he made his first bari peregofen, he had no intention of drinking any more wine. So if you have no intention one way or another, there's an argument what happens. Shabbos usually we do drink wine, so it's tantamount to having intention. But he clearly didn't like wine, and so therefore he had no intention of drinking wine. After he drank, he said, wow, it's really good. So maybe he decided to have another drink, and another drink. Tosfos asks you an interesting question. We find that if you steal someone's, if somebody was invited to bench, lead the benching, and somebody else jumped in and stole the benching, he has to pay, reimburse the person who he stole the benching from. And we value each bracha at 10 gold coins. We value each bracha at 10 gold coins. And what it says, if somebody steals the benching, you got to pay 40 gold coins. Because there are four brachas in benching. For Hazan, and then there's Alakoil, 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 and then there's Venedu Shlaim, and then there's the last one, four. So Tosfos asks, well, but there's five. What about the cup of Kiddush? The cup of wine that comes with it as well. So he says, either the Gemara there goes according to Rav Ashi, who says you don't have to make another bari. You're stealing the brachas. He said you don't have to worry about the bracha of wine because he holds you don't make a bracha. Or he said Taisha says sometimes they would make benching, they would bench without a cup. In other words, it seems from Taisha that almost everybody used to bench always with a cup of wine. You know, whenever you had a mezuman, they always used a cup of wine. Forget about a minyan, it's from a mezuman. And sometimes they didn't. Okay, let's continue tomorrow. So obviously he spent Shabbos by Rava, and he was there Motzei Shabbos. So he said to him, he remained for Havdalah, keep Motzei Havdalah, came time for Havdalah, come Shemaya, the Gabbai stood up, the Adlik, you know, for Havdalah, he prepared, he lit Avuka, a torch, Meshraga from a candle, single candle. Amalei, Rav Acha said to Rava, Lomalokulahai, why do you have to do that? Haman Cheshraga. There's a candle over here already. In other words, you already can do it in the Bayri Yesh. Amalei Shemaya Medayt and Ashgabin. I don't know. The Gabbai did it on his own volition. Amalei, so Rav Acha didn't accept that. Eloi Shmilei Minei Demar. If he wouldn't have heard it from you, Eloi Havi Avi wouldn't have done it. Amalei, so then Rav defended the Gabbai. Eloi Shmilei Minei. Eloi Savalei Mar. Don't you agree? Have you never heard? Avuka Lahavdola Mitzun Hamulcher. A torch is better to use than a single candle. Because the bracha is boirei me'oirei in plural ha'esh, many fires, so a torch is better. Now, the Magen Avraham and the Taz HaShulchan Aruch go to town on this Gemara here, because it's very hard to understand. If Rava did instruct the Gabbai, the Shamash, to go ahead and use a torch, why initially did he tell Rav Acha he must have done it on his own? And only after Rav Acha probed, you know, teased it out of him, did he confess that I told him. Well, what's going on? If he held that Avuka is better, he should have told him from the outset. Why do you have to make a whole homaisa? So they both learned that Rava did not understand exactly what Rav Acha was asking. And this is how Magen Avraham learns. And it's enough meaning halacha. But basically Rava thought that Rav Acha was saying to him, of course you need a torch is good. But if you already have an existing candle, why bother with a torch? In other words, if you haven't lit yet, go get a torch. But if you already have a candle and it's already, even though it's not the most hidden thing, once you have something, you shouldn't jump up to the next, don't leave it behind. In a way, you're insulting the mitzvah, because you already have a candle you can do the mitzvah with, and you're going ahead and you're lighting from that candle a torch. In a way, you're insulting the mitzvah you could have done with a candle, even though it's not the highest standard, but it's still good enough. That's what Rav thought he was answering. So he said, that the Gabbai did on his own. So then then Rav Acha, when he asked the next question, you would have told him, then Rav realized Rav Acha was asking the whole idea of a torch. So he said to him, oh, Avuka Mitzvah Mubcher. So what do we learn from this Pshat among Avram? That, and from here, the Shavus Yaakov and others want to learn. Let's say Chanukah candles, you had no oil. So you thought, okay, I'm going to have to use my wax candles. You set up the wax candles for Chanukah. Suddenly somebody brought oil to you. Are you allowed to take out the wax candles from the Chanukah menorah and put in there the oil? Because that's much more mehuda. Or do we say, once you set aside, in your mind, you've resigned yourself, you can do your mitzvah with this, even though something better comes along, you're not allowed to change it because you're insulting. You're saying something which halach is good enough is no good. You're insulting the mitzvah. And this is a thing they argue in everything. If you ever settled for a lesser way of doing the mitzvah because you thought that's all you had, and then suddenly somebody, let's say you have an esrig, it's not the most mahudig esrig, but that's all you have. And then somebody brings you another esrig, which is much nicer. Can you stop your own esrig, take the other esrig, or not? Based on this Magen Avraham, they want to say no. If you have decided that you're going to do the mitzvah on this, you must do the mitzvah on this, even though something better came along. The Taz has another pshat in the Gemara, and therefore the Taz basically learns is that he thought Rav Acha was asking, why do you have to bring a whole new torch? You already have an existing candle. Bring another candle next to this candle. Between the two, you'll have a torch. Why bring a whole new torch and dismiss the original candle? So it's a different question altogether. Not the question was, you know, if you already have a candle which is good enough for a mitzvah, don't bother a torch. He's saying, no, of course get a torch. But there's two ways of getting a torch. Bring a whole torch and ignoring the candle, or just bring another candle to this candle, and together you have a torch. That was his question. And Rava misunderstood. So he said, the Gabbai did that, I'm happy with. And Rava actually agreed. There's nothing wrong with just bringing another candle. But then he realized that Acha was asking, why have a torch at all? So he changed his story. So according to this version of the Taz's version, there's no basis to say that if you were given, let's say you have an esrig which is not so good, and then you come across another esrig that's much better, you're allowed to go away from this esrig, take the better one. Why not? You want to be mahad in the mitzvah. So it's a very Yisraelistic argument here, fundamental argument between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. Okay, let's continue. Based on this, the conversation in this Gemara. It says Gemara further, Pasach v'omer, then you start saying Havdalah. What's the Havdalah Rava said? Hamavde b'kayish l'chayr, b'neri l'chayshe, b'nisro l'amim, b'yampri recognizes, b'yam ashila, shesh b'yam asa. He said four different Havdalahs, four different separations, four different Kodesh and Chol, and Oyer and Choshech, Yisrael and Amim, and the seven Yemeshvi, the Shemim Masa. Amalei says, "I'm Lomakul Hai. Why do you have to have so many examples of Havdolos?" In fact, that's what we do. If you want to separate from Shabbos, you want to do a malacha a week that you haven't done ma'ariv yet, you just say hamadu bekodesh l'chol. Why don't we do the same thing? Amalei said to him, "Ano kehos vidui. I hold like the following thing. Amar Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Isha, hapoiches. If somebody wants to do a minimum." Of Havdalah, by Havdalah, don't do less than three. If you want to add, don't do more than seven. So therefore, I don't want, even though Rebbe said one, Rabbi Eishia said three, even Rabbi Eishia was sort of in between an Amoira and a Tana, because Rabbi Eishia wrote it to Sefta. But nevertheless, but he was like Rabbi Yechon, we consider him Amoraim. But must be, we'll see later, Zatana also says, minimum three, maximum seven. Says, you didn't say three or seven, you had four. Now, interesting, so four is between three and seven. What's the big deal? The Taisa says, if you pick the number three and seven, there's obviously something about it. Like we had in the Gemara, that Bichas Kainim is, you know, we talk about how many people you should have by Iber Hashanah, having Mar Sanhedrin, it says, if you start off with three, then you move to five, then you move to seven, just like Bichas Kainim. One pasuk is three, one pasuk is five, one pasuk is seven. That means there's a significance behind these numbers. So here too, Tez said there must be a significance. He doesn't mention Bichas Kainim, but he said there's a significance behind the number, whatever the significance is. But four is neither here nor there. Amalei said to him, Ibra, you're right. The last one, which is Ben Yom Hashvi, L'Sheish, Zvei Masa, Me'ein Chasimi. We have a rule that before you conclude the bracha, the last few words before the Baruch Atah Hashem should be similar to whatever you're going to finish with. So therefore, therefore we repeat Ben Yom Hashvi L'Sheish Zvei Masa before we say Amavdu Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Because Kodesh is Yom HaShvi and Chol is Shesh Yom HaMasa, so therefore it's not part of the partitions, it's more to as a preamble to the final bracha, so it's not counted. You have to conclude right before you conclude the bracha, similar to the chsimah right before you make the bracha. So therefore you say Yom HaShvi Yom HaMasa, but that's not part of the Avdolos. He says, "Me'ein psichasan samuch lachasimasan." He says that the way you opened up, whatever you did in the opening sentence, which is a mavlu ben kodesh l'chol, is how you should conclude right before the bracha. Says more of my benayu kodesh l'chol, or saying ben yom hashvi'i l'shem masa is basically the same thing. You're talking about Shabbos versus the week. So what's the difference if we say that the beginning has to be sort of the end, or the end has to be sort of the end of the bracha? It's more or less exactly the same thing. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, Ike Benayu, what about Yom Tov Shecholi Zachar Shabbos? Like this year by Yaknahaz. We make Havdolah Mitzvah Shabbos, the Chasmin, and the Bracha actually ends being Kodesh LeKodesh. We don't finish Kodesh, we say Kodesh LeKodesh. Saman, the Amma, the one who says, Me'ein Psichasan Samuch LaChasimasan, the one who says that the beginning has to be similar to the end. Loiboy LeMeimer, Ben Kedusha Shabbos is Yom Tov Evdalta. You don't have to say between Kedusha Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's the end. Uman Dama Mein Chasim Moschus Oslan that we need, because if you go after the Psicha, when we already said Hamavdu Mekodesh Kodesh, but when in the beginning you say, what is it here? The first item, and just 1 second. The first item is Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'Chol. That's the first item. So if it's Mitzvah Shabbos going into Yom Tov, you cannot then right before the bracha say these words here. Ben Kedusha Shabbos L'Kedusha Yom Tov Hivdalta, because it started out Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'Chol. And if it's Me'ein Psichason Samuch L'Chasimason, then you don't say Hamavdil ben Kedusha Shabbos Yom Tov, because that's not like you started out. You started Chodesh L'Chol. But the one who says that you finish Right before the bracha, you say something similar to the end. So you do say, "Ben kedusha Shabbos lukas yom tov hivdalta," because the end of the bracha will be a mavim kodesh l'kodesh. So the beginning starts a mavim kodesh l'chol, the end is kodesh l'kodesh. So the question is, right before the bracha, what do you say? Do you mention that as well? Do you mention "Ben kedusha Shabbos yom tov hivdalta" or not? Right before the bracha, depending if you look at the end, then you do. If you look at the beginning, kodesh l'chol, you don't. Goof, let's analyze quickly. The minimum amount of havdalas you make is should be less than three. But if you add, should be more than seven. Maisi, I'll ask you a question. It says, you say havdalah by Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yom Tov and Motzei Kippurim and Motzei Shabbos Yom Tov and Motzei Yom Tov l'chilu shemayid. All of them you make havdalah. When we go from Friday to Shabbos, we don't make havdalah. And why not? The reason very simple is because we're getting inviting the king, so you totally, you know, we just go right into it, as we'll soon see. Haragaloi maharbe, if somebody knows his havdalas, he can make as many havdalas as he wants. Usha'en yoragil, oimer achad. But if you're not accustomed to say all of the different partitions, you only say one. So the question is, you just said you need a minimum of three. It says clearly here in this braisa that you only say one, not more than one. So therefore, when Yom Tov ends, we go into Shabbos, it's not right to escort the officer when the king is coming. When the king comes, you completely ignore the officer and you move straight to the king. That's why we don't make Havdalah on Yom Tov. So what are you right? Tanoi, it's actually an argument Tanoi. We already had Rebbe before, whose behavior. We have this Braisa that says you make only one. And then we have the other one that says three. Where? Dom Rabbi Yechim, Benon Shol Kedoshim Omer, the son of the Holy One, said... Achas, he said he used to make havdalah only one havdalah, but v'nogu amlei mishal. But the people say three. So you see, you have two opinions. Ma niu, who is it? Benon shel kedoshim. Who is this benon shel kedoshim? The son of the holy ones. Rab Nachman bar Samoy. Rab Nachman the son of Samoy. Now the behavior that we're about to say is actually talking about Menachem, the son himself, that he was a kaddish, but he also called the son of kedoshim. Am I called benon shel kedoshim? What makes them so holy? When he had money, he never looked at images of the king on the money, and it was like avodah zarah. So he never looked at the images of those coins. So therefore, it's called benoshik adoshim. Anyway, he said you do one, but the meaning is three. Shalach le'Rav Shmuel Baridi. Rav Shmuel Baridi sent Chananya Ochi, Chananya, my brother Omer. He used to say achas by havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. He only made one havdalah, only by mavdim and kodesh l'chol. That was it. The Allah is not like him. We want you to say, you know, a minimum of three, a maximum of seven. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.